Welcome to the show. We're diving into the world of local talent, artists, wrestlers, and businesses. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Chewin' Who Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewin' Who Podcast. I am back. Unfortunately, so not alone. Yes, you heard him. This ugly thing is back. Hold on, let me get you off here. There he is. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's back for a second time. First of all, I want to say thank you for tuning in once again with us for episode 261. 261 is our episode today.
And can't wait till episode 269.
Yeah, there, it takes two people to 69. But anyways,
that's why I said
no. Pay attention. Oh, man, I don't have my applause here. My bad. I didn't turn it on here.
You know what? We don't have our headphones on here. No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, anyways, moving on. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in last week. It was a very interesting podcast.
I'm even more popular than you can believe that.
Oh, well, I think you and I are both popular after that interview. Yeah, well, not when I saw my email, but other than that, man. But other than that, guys, great episode last week. A lot of information from not only just here in the RGB, from all over the United States and across the world. Yeah. We got quite a few emails for that one. But
thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening, man.
Yes.
But other than that, I know the mood at that time when we're talking was kind of really a serious. We tried to lighten the mood a little bit towards the very end. But today, we have a special guest with us, Chew.
Yes.
We have a special guest with us. Gentleman is from the RGV.
Despite my many attempts to hang up the call. So that we could enjoy Fresco outside.
Yeah, shit. Oh, yeah. Big shout out to Fresco out there. Fresco going on outside. Right, yes, they are out there enjoying yourselves out there, guys. Enjoy the festivities. But we're in here bringing interesting people on the podcast, people that are doing tremendous work in the RGV, bringing laughs. He's a comedian here in the RGV. He's
a great guy.
And we were talking right before the show started about some stuff that he had been doing for a while. And unfortunately, at the moment, he is out of commission for a while.
Yeah.
He they rebuilt him into the Million Dollar Man.
Yes.
Bionic Man. Yeah, Titanium was involved and everything. So now he's stronger, faster, and he has a nice round bottom now after the Brazilian lift. Oh, but yeah. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you Mr. Anthony Nino in the podcast. What is up, man?
What's up,
Rafa?
What's up? Yeah, man. First time at BDO, ya sabes.
What's going on, man?
27 payments. Going good, man. Going good. Yeah, man.
How you been, man? How you been, brother? How you been?
I've been good, brother. Good, good. You know, gracias a Dios. You know, thank you to everybody that, you know, for the prayers, the shout outs. I've been doing good. I had a little surgery on my spine. You know, like I did say, I did want them to make me taller, so they just gave me a bigger ass. So when I sit down,
That usually works. That usually works.
Yeah. Unos cachetones, you know, give them a little bit of a raise.
How did you get taller? Puro plasma, baby.
Yeah.
Puro plasma from the bedding department.
I laugh, bro, because I saw a commercial earlier actually on Facebook. It was about BBOs and talking about the payment plan, something like 32 something every 2 weeks.
Oh,
I'm like, what's it going? It's going to get difficult when they got to choose between Rent-A-Center and an ass.
I hate to be part of that repo. I'll tell you that much right now. Bro. You know how we know how you know exactly how we're representing this thing, right, Mr. Nino?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. Give me the gag ball. But anyways, man. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, man. I appreciate you. I know you had reached out. I saw a comment online, like, what's the best way to get on the podcast? And our name was dropped like a bomb on you real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I was happy enough to reach out to you, and I actually got you for the interview, bro. And I appreciate you taking the time, even in the situation you're in, to come out and talk to us for a while, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And I do appreciate it. You know, I did get a lot of shout out from Popular Loner, from Freddie. Yeah, I'm really good friends with Freddie. And I asked him about the podcast, and he was always mentioning y'all. So once I saw y'all on there, I said, oh, man, I got to throw a shout out real quick. See if I can get on. But yeah, man. So I'm down for a little bit. You know, hopefully within about 2 months, I should be up and at them, you know, walking as much as I can, you know, trying to stay as comfortable as much as I can. And, I need to get back out there, bro. Like, I see everybody putting on shows and everything, and I get that, you know, that FOMO, you know, I fear missing out, bro. I just want to get back at it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, man, we're all having fun out here, dude.
Yeah, can't you hear you? You hear the music in the back, which, by the way, we don't own the rights to that, but, but there is a party going on outside. I think Johnny Canales is up there.
Even the West to go to a party on a work night, no?
Yeah, I know, right? She's all crew the next day for work. It was great last night, boss. Yeah. And I saw you. I saw you too, but that wasn't your wife. So you have your excuse, and I have my excuse. Oh, my God. Yeah, but anyways. Definitely. So, Anthony, tell us a little bit about yourself, brother. Where you grew up, you know, how, you know, what made you want to go into the comedy scene, the entertainment business, you know. Take us on a journey, man. Tell us a little history about yourself, man. We'd love to hear it.
I mean, for me, man, I'm from Harlingen, Texas, bro. You know, from Harlingen. You know, all my life, and growing up there was, I mean, I grew up in, you know, pretty, you know, well-known neighborhood, and, you know, growing up with my uncles, those guys, like, people always ask me, like, how'd you get into comedy? And I'll tell them, like, you know, I've been doing comedy all my life. Like, have you ever made a room full of dudes all putting needles laugh? Like, that was my first audience, you know what I mean?
Those are the best ones, man. Those are the best ones.
Yeah, man, having the whole crew just laughing, and, you know, I really started doing comedy because I was a working security guard at a bar in Harlingen, and I would sit outside with the people, man, and everybody would sit outside and figure tables, and I'd just be chopping it up with everybody and having all the tables laughing all night, you know, just talking about the customers walking in or just telling them stories about where I'm from and everything, and I had so many people telling me, you need to stand up, so I ended up seeing an open mic in Hart that was getting put together in the town, in the city. Uh-huh. And it was a Recall Productions. It's real good buddies of mine. Mm-hmm. And they had posted a comedy show. And so I had never been to a comedy show. I had never, you know, done comedy and everything. So I pulled up and I saw them performing. And, I mean, I just fell in love with them, man. So I ended up staying, hanging out with the guys, you know, drinking all night. And they told me, well, come out for the open mic. So I came out to the open mic the very next week, and it was off from there, man. Once I got my first big laugh, I was addicted. Like, I was there every week. Yeah, man. Yeah. That was January 21st, 2019.
There you go. Pre-pandemic. All right.
Yeah, pre-pandemic, yeah. And, you know, so we did comedy, and, you know, I was just coming on as an open micer. I would come hang out with the guys. They had a studio. We'd all hang out with, you know, artists. They would have rap shows, rock shows. We would just, you know, mix it up with everybody. And we were doing comedy the whole time. So then COVID hit. So when COVID hit, you know, that was going to be my first time to ever perform at Sino Ray. I was ready, man. I was hype. And then COVID hit, shut everything down. But during COVID, luckily we were at a venue that was outdoors, had an outdoor area.
Okay.
So we were doing underground shows. We were still, you know, getting to doing the whole, you know, social distancing wasn't helping shit. Yeah. Like, it wasn't helping nothing. So we're doing it safe as much as we could. The guidelines were, you know, that would allow us, but we were also doing them underground with nobody really knowing, just a couple of people. And, you know, we're keeping it light, but keeping working. While a lot of comedians weren't working, I was working. Me and the comics around me, we were working. So when we came out of the pandemic, that's when it was off, man. It was off. So, you know, as soon as we were able to get out of the lockdown, we started traveling. I started going to open mics in Corpus, going to mics in Laredo, to San Antonio. You know, we've even gone out there to Austin, and it was just, you know, I would grind as much as I could, man. Any work I could get, you know, especially, I'm going on 7 years of doing comedy.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, which in comedy, I'm still considered a baby. Like, I mean, you know, you tell any veteran comics under 10
right,
years,
right, right.
In my face, you know, so. Right. I love it.
Yeah, I got you.
But I love it because, as much work as I was putting in, I mean, I would drive 5 hours straight out of work to go do a stage for $30 and a burger. You know what I mean?
Hey, I got you.
You know, yeah, in Austin, you know, show up, do a show, drive back, be at work in the morning. You know, but I was getting on any stage that I could. And I would always tell people, especially in my earlier years, any stage that I was having the opportunity to be on was worth more than any money that anybody could pay me at the time. Like, it was me about just getting in front of people. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I really want. That's all I really cared about. I can get some gasoline on the way back. Cool. If not, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? But, you know, and I fell in love with this game, man. And I've been very blessed to work with a lot of, you know, big comedians. You know, I've been, you know, I've had a lot of work with, you know, Mario Salazar, Raymond Orta. I've worked with Chingo Bling. You know, I've been blessed to work with Willie Presena, Juan Verrial.
Wow.
Man, and I'm happy, the entertainer, like, just a lot of OGs in the game that I have, you know, really given me the opportunity. And all it was getting in front of them once, doing what I can do, you know, getting the experience, especially from, like, Raymond Orta's room in South Padre. He would challenge me in that room a lot, man. Like, you know, I'd be an opener, and then, hey, I need you to feature. Hey, now I need you to host. I'm not going to be there. I'm like, you're going to host the show. Or like, right. You know, so I was getting all this work and all these spots that it was to where I was shining, especially, like, if I was just going to host for, like, Chingo Bling, I'm showing up 2 hours to the venue. I'm making sure everything's good. I'm talking to DJs. I'm talking to doors. I'm moving tables and everything. By the time the comic gets there, you know, a lot of the comedians, like, the headlines were like, man, like, you already got everything, yeah, set up. But that's because of all the work I would do before that where it prepared me for these opportunities, man, to really, you know, take it. And I love it, man. I really do. And I've been at it, like I said, say about 7 years. And, you know, the things that the opportunities I've had and the experiences I've had from comedy is, like, nothing can match it, man. Like, you know, there's a lot of times that I'm with my wife in another city and we're, like, in a crazy situation. We just look at each other like, you know, like comedy.
Right. Right. No, I hear you. So when you started to come into the business, right before you started doing the comedy, I know you hung out with your buddies. Hey, man, you should do stand up. You know, they motivated you to jump on it. Did by any chance, you know, what was kind of your inspiration, bro, to actually, you know, I know the Las Ganas de Hacerlo. You wanted to go up there and do it, but I mean, was the comedy that you started? Who was your inspiration? In other words, growing up, I mean, listening to comedy itself, who inspired you a little bit?
And I'll be honest with you, man. I was working as a night custodian for a school. It was like a school. You know, I would clean up at night, and I had just got into podcasts. I didn't know what podcasts were. Mm-hmm. So this is about 2018. You know, about 17. I started listening to The Church of What's Happening Now with Joey Diaz.
Okay.
And that guy, man, like, he's truly my inspiration for comedy, because I would, every night, you know, working 8-hour shifts, you know, just listening to a 2-3 hour podcast, I'm past time. But he was all about, you know, take a chance, get up on stage. You know, you're never going to know unless you get up there, you know. And I've always taken his words and advice to heart as like scripture, basically, in comedy.
Right.
Like, a lot of times, you know, you get a lot of guys that, well, I do comedy, you know, they're influencers. They just go up on stage and do a lot of crowd work. And, you know, a lot of, you know, it'll get you in a lot of rooms. But as far as a comedian and as far as the art of comedy, you know, every veteran comedian will tell you that stage is never going to lie. That stage is going to let you know how much you're really working and if you're really putting in the work.
Right.
You can't do crowd work for 30 minutes straight. You know, you gotta have the art down. You gotta have the sacrifice in this game. You gotta, you know, take the proper steps, you know, to be a comedian. And, you know, I would listen to his podcast just over and over. And then listening to his his stories reminded me of my uncles, reminded me of me when I'm hanging out with people, telling them stories about the craziest mile that we were in, you know, out here in Harlingen, like, you know, telling them the crazy stories of being with my cousins, being with my homies, being with my tios. You know, there in Las Juarez, you know, there and just, you know, like that's how I would get that crowd of people outside of the bar when I was a bouncer, in like interested in what I was saying, because I was not only was I telling them like crazy ass stories of what happened, but I was making them laugh. You know what I mean? Like, I was making them laugh and just be entertained, not like, oh damn, you know, who the hell is this guy? It was more, they wanted to hear more of my story. You know, so I got a lot of inspiration from Joey Diaz, because a lot of that's what his style was saying the stories, you know, the back in 87 or, you know, back in 93 and I was fighting unknown or, you know, whatever like that and that's always kind of been the style that I try to pursue. You know, I don't want to go out there and just sound like a comic. I want to be the guy that you can take to a barbecue, hang out with, you know. And that's what I tell a lot of people when they want to try to do comedy, or they're like, well, I never done it. I tell them, bro, you know the stories that you say whenever you're hanging out with all your homies to make them laugh. You know, you're going to start drinking, a new person is going to come in. Hey, man, let me tell you what Ruben did back in the day. You know, you start chopping it up with
everybody
laugh at the story. So you're a comedian. Like, that's what comics do. We know exactly what to say in the situation to make you laugh.
Right. That's crazy, man. Because everybody in the group of friends always have that one guy that's just, you know, he's constantly pushing everybody's buttons and making them laugh and right, you know. And they're the ones that are on fire for the whole night, and you're just laughing your asses off. But there's some points, you know, I know for a fact because I've gone to a comedy show a long time ago. I think it was in San Antonio. It was one comedy show I went a long time ago, and there was a new comedian come up on stage, and man, it was like crickets in there, bro. I mean, some of the jokes were great. They were good, but it's just that nobody was grasping. It wasn't hitting at all. Have you ever had anything like that? I mean, it's something that one night you're like, dude, this is a tough crowd.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, honestly, like my last show before I went to surgery, it was funny because, you know, a buddy of mine, Eli, he's also a comedian, stand-up comedian. He does like a puppet. And,
badass.
Whoa.
Hold on a minute. Whoa. Time out. Whoa, we demand this guy's number and know where he lives.
Definitely.
We're going to end this right now.
Yeah, man. He's actually a really traveled comedian, man. He does. He goes all over the country. Uh-huh. He does his shows, you know, in Canada. He comes all over, you know, Vegas, California, and everything. He's really trying to get me out there, and I'm really ready to get out there with him. Man.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So he put on a show at a smoke shop downtown in McAllen.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and they're really cool people, man. Shout out to Valverde Smoke Shop, man. Like, they're really cool. Every time I go, they show me a lot of love. They come out to my shows, you know, and they've been bigging me up for like a month that, hey, Anthony Neal's going to come perform. Well, they ended up putting a show together with, like, man, I gotta say, like 10 comedians. It's an outdoor venue. And then they tell me, well, you're gonna go second to last because we want the headliners to go towards the end. I'm like, all right, so how much time are we doing? 30 minutes. All right, cool, no problem. It's BYOB. So, I'm on the end of my run. I packed in 4 shows in 2 days before I went to my surgery on Monday. So I'm on the end of my run. That's my last show. So I, you know what? I'm going to cut loose. I bought me a couple of 40s or Modelo.
Big shout out to Modelo sponsorship.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, I don't really drink it, but just because I thought to myself, like, man, it's going to be funny as hell walking in with, like, 440s. And I'm walking around, bro. I'm 5'3" and chubby as hell, bro. I look like a 40-ouncer. Who gave this hairy neck? No, I told people I look like a thugged out little boo-boo walking around.
Hey, who let that dude in the studio, bro?
So I get there, man. I start drinking and I start hanging out with all the comedians from all over Texas, you know, showing up. Some out of a Kill Tony show from Austin. They came down. So I'm just networking with everybody, talking, chopping up with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm drinking them. And I'm not noticing that the show hadn't started yet. So it's about 10:30, 11. People have been sitting outside, you know, smoking their CBD, drinking their beer, eating their food. And then they start around 11. Like, all right, let's get it started. I'm like, shit. So they go through all the comedians, man. Like I said, everybody's outside. It's hot. It's sweaty. The early comedians are coming up and killing. Like, yeah, they get the fresh energy. It's awesome. Fuck yeah. And we get down to where it's me and the last 2 other people, and it's already about 1:00, and we all still have to do 30 minutes each. And man, the whole night that I'm there, people, the owners of the smoke shop are bringing people like, man, it's Anthony Nino. We saw him in the 4th theater. Like, he killed it. You know, like, we really want everybody to see him. I mean, all these people like, yeah. Thank you. And then when it comes up to me, it's about 1:30 in the morning. Everybody's just kind of sitting there sweating, just melting.
Go slower, man.
Hold on, man.
All the young people that were there are like gone because it's downtown. Like, they want to go hit on chicks and not get anything. We're just left with like the family of the guy that opened the shop and like just a couple of random people. And man, they bring me up and Anthony Nino and man, bro, I go up there and giving them my best, everything that I know is gonna hit them.
Your arsenal, all your arsenal.
Arsenal, and I swear, and it's just like everybody's just leaning back, like.
you're funny, Mitch, right?
This was a kick in the nuts. Thank y'all very much. You know, I appreciate it. Y'all go ahead and stay hydrated, and I'll see y'all later.
Y'all stay hydrated.
Yeah. And of course, this is after my wife already slammed like a 4-pack of 24 ounces of Twisted Teas. So she's in a back fighting with the comedians. With the comedian, like, I don't know what happened back there. Yeah, and one of the comics comes up to me right before I'm going on stage, like, hey, bro, your wife's back there arguing with one of the comics, and she's getting a little crazy. I'm like, well, she drank all her Twisted Teas, right? Like, yeah, well, that's y'all's problem.
Yeah, she's lit.
I'll deal with that on the way down from the stage.
Yeah, oh my gosh, dude. See, it's crazy because, like I said, being to me, when I see comedians go on stage and do their act, bro, it's like at first I'm like, oh, come on, man. Come on, let's go. Yeah. Come on. Dude, you got to crack the first one and get that first laugh. Once you get that first laugh, just roll. Go. And this guy that was on stage, he's like, he cracked the first one. It was like, everybody like, yeah.
Yeah.
You hear that one guy in the back, ha ha. You know, it was those laughs, you know? And you're like, oh, dude. And you can see in his face, and it's the room is cool, but he is sweating freaking shotgun shells, bro, coming off his brow. He's under the all wet under here. And I'm like, dude, how can you sweat with an LED light, bro? What's going on, man? Yeah. You know, it's hardcore, man, that you have to have cold veins to be. You got to be ready to go, man. You got to be solid, you know.
You got to be able to handle an ass kicking.
Yeah, you got to handle the ass kicking and give an ass kicking at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got just to let you know, Edward Nino right here. Shout out to my nephew, Big Dog Anthony. What's up, man? All right, and also Jacinto, stopping by and say what's up, guys. What's up, Jacinto? Yes, Jacinto. I'll smack later on the podcast. Don't worry about it. But anyways, man. So I mean, that in particular. Go ahead.
But that comes with, like I said, man, having to experience that on your come up. That's the stuff that you got to work with, because, like, with those kind of starts where it's slow, I love those. I'll take them. You know, a lot of times they call them cold starts. You know, where you don't get an entrance, you don't get music, you don't get nothing. You just got to go. And me, when I get on stage, I got to grab them. I got to grab them quick.
Right.
Like, that's always my style. You know, when I get up there, I wake them up no matter what. You know, I'm in Westigo, make some noise. Like, I'll start yelling, start getting them up, you know, let them know, that's a show. You know, like, I'm here to, you know, to entertain you.
My
entrance is usually Tejano songs, like old school Tejano songs. So I'll come into, like, Jaime Los Chamacos, you know, I'll come out to La Mafia, I'll come out to Estrella, you know, Michael Salgado.
And those in a Texas saloon too, bro. Okay, back in the day. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But I-69, I ain't Harlingen. Puro gorditas and tías. That's what I tell people, bro. I miss the Hano clubs because it's not the same, like all these bandas and stuff. I want a club where you can just yell, in the middle of the floor for no reason.
You know what? You know, it's so funny. It's so funny you say that, Anthony. I had the same conversation this morning I have my morning conversation with with Ro in the morning, with Beefy Boy Ro. Yeah. And we talked about that, about the music scene, how it's changed so much. And because he goes, yeah, man, because he got really into banda. He likes listening to it. I go, bro, I can't get into it, bro. I don't know whether I was exposed to it too much when I was young, you know, and now I'm like, oh, God, you know what? Parale. I'm done.
I need something that I can spin a big roll in the middle of the whole dance floor. And, you know, I would laugh at my deal, bro, because I would go to I-69 at the Hano Club, you know, all the time. And he would always like to dance with the big ladies, big girls. And back then, like, I told people, we didn't call them tortas. You know, back then we call them tanquecitos. Like, those are the tanquecitos that I play. We call them tanquecitos. I used to love hanging out with my tío, bro, because as soon as he would see, like, a pack of them walk in, he'd hear, ya empezó la guerra. I would tell my tío, like, hey, tío, like, why do you? To him, his only like gauge of like size was, as long as when he hugs you, his fingers touch, you're okay. Like, ay, ya que no toque, me lo hace big. That was his only gauge. And I would tell, like, why do you like getting the big ones, man? He goes, pues abre camino, mijo. Shit.
Mijo, if I'm not back, think of Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah, papa.
Earn this, chica.
Tejano's the only music, bro, that you can dance with the tia and feel her bulletproof vest under her shirt.
You hit it right on the money.
Yeah.
It's true, man.
The
it's
ones
true.
That just sip on Bud Lights because they don't want that button to pop. No.
And then, put it. Ya se me está fallando. Hold on. Dale, put it. No vueltas. No vueltas.
No.
Se acabó el Bud Light. Hold on.
At Tejano, bro, if you could dance, no matter how big, how small you were, you look like a gangster, bro, just gliding on the floor. You know, you don't get that wapanda anymore. Puro just little, just...
Cuidado, compadre.
Everybody's doing TikTok dances, man.
Everybody's got to be choreographed.
No. I want some stuff that's going to make that eyelash sweat off me. That's all I want.
You gotta go to the pulga to get it.
Oh my God! Don't even get me started on la pulga, man. Jesus.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it's like everybody that I, every time I'm swiping through TikTok, Facebook, shit, even Instagram, bro, and you know through the stories, it's always something. Everybody's trying to get that what I like to call the Bronco 956 fire starter, because everybody's looking for that, and it's not happening. It happened for one person, that's
they wanna,
it.
They want a taste of it.
They want a taste. Yeah. If it happened for one person, that's it. It's over. That's it. He's already he burned it to the last. The wick is too small to light anymore. It's gone. So
that's a crown too heavy to bear, Papa. They ain't ready for that. Bronco is a national legend, bro. Like, it was funny because I worked with some comedians, national touring comedians.
Yeah.
And we did a show at Raymond's room in South Padre. And I was hanging out with them and everything, and the guys are telling me, yeah, we just came back from Nebraska. I'm like, Nebraska? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. It's pretty far. And then they're telling me, hey, bro, who's this Bronco guy?
Uh-oh. Like, here we go.
Bronco. I'm like, Bronco, you mean? You mean el papá de los pollitos? Hey, you put the respect on your name, papá. That's Bronco 95. And they start laughing, bro. And I'm like, that's Bronco. Like, he's a viral guy in the valley. He just would dance. And really, he wasn't trying. He was just hanging out. That was just him. Every time he would show up, he didn't know nothing about being recorded. And I was telling him, like, he just went viral. Like, he's a big name here in the valley. I'm like, why? He's like, bro, we went up there to Nebraska. It's a place for, it's like a company party. It's nothing but white people. And he goes, they weren't even happy for comedians. They have booked Bronco to go out there and make an appearance. He said, when the comedians did their thing, in Nebraska, like the comedians did their thing. All right, get up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have our Bronco 956. He said, the place lit up. He said,
are you freaking kidding me?
Bro, like, we even like rushed Raymond out the stage, like, bro, you gotta hear this. Like, they said it, like, man, like, we were just like, what? And they're like, Nebraska, they was all white people, but as soon as they came, the comedians did their thing, like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. And then, as soon as he hit the stage, man, everyone, he went out there doing this, you know, Bronco, they knew who he was, they loved him, the pictures were like taken, like. Man,
that's nuts, man.
Do you know how long we've been trying to break into Nebraska?
Go Cornhuskers!
Go Huskers over here and everything. How you doing, man?
A big shout out to Ashley. I'm here, brother. That's what she's saying right there, buddy.
Because none of my family has jobs. It's all, man.
No, shout out. That's crazy, man. And, wow. And, you know, like I said, everybody who's anybody and their grandmamas are out there trying to get catch that fire. And it's like I said, that fire has already been lit. It's gone, and he ran with it. It's like it was the last jug of water. He said, "Screw you, I'm out." And mom. But yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
I'm gonna start training my son to dance, bro. Instead of being in baseball, just put a poster of Bronco on the wall. That's what you need to be like.
That's your inspiration right there. Follow that right there.
Instead of the poster of Mike Tyson doing Bronco.
But Dad, I want to play for the Astros when they like Altuve. No, you follow that, man. Go that right there. Yeah,
you polish off all 10 of your belts.
Dude, that's freaking nuts, dude. I mean,
that's crazy.
And so far, all these shows that you've done in state of Texas, basically the whole state of Texas that you've been through, what would you say is the one that you shared the most that you say, you know what, this makes the bar, this sets the bar for me. This is the one that, this was the best one. This is where, you know, I lit it up and it stayed lit the whole night. I mean, is there any in particular one? I mean, and when that happened, what was the first joke you cracked?
Oh, my biggest one, you know, that I've had was when I did the FAR Lone Star Theater. You know, that was maybe about a month ago.
Okay.
And, I wasn't supposed to be on the lineup, you know, but I had gone to the open mic and I was getting a lot of love in that venue. Like every time I would go to the open mic, everybody loved it when I was there. I would crush it every time. So the guy I was putting the show together asked me, like, hey, man, you want to be on the show? And I was like, yeah, man, no problem. And then, they wanted me to headline after, like,
comics. Shoot.
I said, like, you know, like, to me, like, I love, if it's going to be a showcase like that, put me in the middle. Put me in the middle. I don't want to wait till the very end of the night. Like, let me hang out with all the comics, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
You know,
someone's traumatized.
Someone's traumatized.
Oh, bro, from years of showcases. Like, man, what you going to ask? 9 comics later, dude, everybody just held hostage, just looking at me.
We have to say, can we pay for this?
Yeah, exactly. So it was a Lone Star Theater, man. So I end up going in the middle. And it was the guys are worried about it. They're like, hey, man, like, there's an intermission. I'm like, don't worry about it. A cold start, you know, like, where I got to go. I'm the one that's going to bring the energy back.
Right.
So don't worry about it. I'm used to it. Like, I'll bring you the energy. Like, don't worry about that.
Right.
They do their intermission. They get everybody coming back to the seat. And I'm on the side. Every time I'm going to get on stage, man, it's because my uncle growing up, my uncle was a boxer, Carlos. And, you know, there was times that I would see him getting ready for fights. And he would just do that little pacing back and forth or, you know, just getting in that zone. And that's me. Before I'm on stage, I'm not talking to nobody. I go out to the side and I'm just.
You're amping yourself up. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, yeah.
And I could hear the DJ behind me because it's a sold out crowd. You know, there's at least like 160 people in a small venue. It's packed. You know, there's just standing room available. All the bar area is packed. I'm already hyped up from that. So I'm on the side, and I tell the guy, just go let him bring me up. And I'm just pacing. I can hear the DJ just behind me, like, oh, shit. And I tell him, as soon as he says my name, I need you to turn on. There was a Paco Negro behind Mr. Marcos. I told him, I need you to turn it on. Just crank it and crank it full blast. Like, all right, man. So as soon as the guy says Anthony Nino at 100 checks, Anthony Nino, they crank it, bro. And you already know the accordions are going off. And, you know, I go up there, I do my little air accordion dance, you know, do my little cumbia and everything. And I grab the mic and I would do my, you know, I need to hear some noise for Texas and everything. And I tell them, you know, it feels good to be back out here in Fort Texas. I haven't been out here since I used to pick up fat chicks on Mocha Space. And, you know, just, you know, as soon as I say that, it just lights up, bro. Like, it just lights up.
Los
like,
tanquecitos. Tengo la guerra, papá. Oh, my God.
I start just getting into it, bro. And I start just going at it. And I tell them, you know, when I was coming out here to do FAR, you know, I asked the guy, like, hey, man, does it get, like, good in FAR? Does it get late? Like, yeah, bro, it's FAR Texas. What the fuck does that mean? Are we gonna hang out at the bodega down the street? what the hell, man? And yeah, man. So I hit it. I was only supposed to do like 15 minutes, man. But it was just back to back to back, just lighting them up, lighting them up.
That's awesome,
I,
dude.
I could see people standing up, like just laughing and doing the walk around. I'm just hitting them and hitting them and hitting them.
That's
and
badass.
I'm waiting for the light. I'm waiting for the light because they're supposed to light you, let you know where you're at on your time.
Right.
No light. So I'm just hitting them back and forth, man. I'm not letting them breathe. You know, I can just, you know, feel the energy. I know where the laughs are gonna come, and I know how to push it to where I can get that just big old boom, like
right.
throw that big old big you know wave. And
yeah.
man, like I just felt like everything I was saying was just like what they wanted to hear, man. I was just
right.
lighting them up. I get off of the stage, you know, and I go to the back. And when I get to the back, I just see it. I'm walking to the back. People are getting up out of their seats, man, just to shake my hand, you know.
That's
you know,
awesome, to, dude.
Yeah, like.
That's then, awesome.
And, you know, so I go in the middle. I pick up all that energy, and then I just toss the hot potato to the next comic. Like, hey,
my buddy. Yeah, you're up, kid.
yeah. Shout out to my boy, Roy, man. Roy,
there you go, man. He had a Richie Valens moment. You're up, kid.
Yeah, man, and it was badass, bro. Like when the show was done, you know, people just kept coming up to me, you know, shaking my hand. So when the show was done, it felt good being the comic that has the line of people wanting to just take a picture with them, you know. And you know, I've had that experience when I worked with, you know, bigger names. I kill, people love it, especially like I'm out of town, like in Corpus. They hear I'm from the Valley. I go kill, so I have people like, hey, from San Benito, hey, from La Feria, hey, from, you know, Valley people and like people, you know, local and everything. You know, I've had that, but there was just different that night to have the bigger line. You know, I always had like the line that, hey, man, you did great. My first time seeing you.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it took me about an hour by the time we were done, you know, talking to everybody.
That's awesome.
Everybody. And I'm glad that my wife was there because she just decided, like, I'm going to start recording him. So she started recording me and, like, just talking to the people, laughing. They're doing their little shout-out videos. They're taking pictures of me and everything. Mm-hmm. It was just so electric. Like I've killed rooms and I've killed big venues, but something about that just like really felt different. It felt like tonight you're the guy, you know. Tonight you're the guy to, you know, for them.
I think true. What's more special is that when you're a local talent, either whether you're a rock star or a rock guy or a hip hop, Tejano singer, an artist, podcasters, any, you know, anything that's to do with talent. In as a comedian, anything, you know, to entertain people. I think the greatest feeling is that when you get recognized by your own raza from your own hometown, the 956, they step up and they say, dude, you're fucking badass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your comedy setup was the bomb, dude. That was fucking funny. You know, that inside, that's a notch inside. Yeah. You're like, hell yeah, man, I did it.
That's like family
friends. It felt good.
Yeah.
And that night, like, I'll never forget it. There's a – I forget his name, man. I feel bad to forget his name. He's real cool. He came up to me after the show. He's a shark wrangler from here in South Texas.
Oh, okay.
He has a video, like, being underwater with sharks.
Oh, shit.
With them. Like, dancing with them. He's this white guy.
I got dancing with them.
Literally moonwalks, you know, doing, like, he's doing, like, an international show showing. And he's breakdancing with the sharks. And he comes up to me, and he takes a picture of me. And he tells me what he does and everything. Oh, man, that's awesome. You know, I shake his hand, take his picture. And before he's leaving, this guy brings me in. He's like, hey, bro, you're the Joey Diaz of the Valley. Like, man.
Oh, shit.
That hit me because, like, not him not knowing that, like I said, my biggest inspiration was Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
And for him to say, like, bro, your stories, and you're the Joey Diaz of the Valley. Like, bro, like, you know, whether anybody will agree with them or not, to hear that from somebody that I just turned into a fan. Like, bro, that lit my world up, man. And like you said, to get that support from the Raza, especially down here in the Valley, you know. I've gone to Corpus. Yeah. I've done shows in San Antonio. And they'll promote me as, hey, out of RGV. And people will show up that either know me or, like, know I'm from the RGV just to say, like, hey, man, there's a Valley guy here. Like, you know,
right.
And then I kill, and then I got more fans, man. I got more family outside of you know, the Valley.
Before I go into the commercial to all our sponsors, has he ever tried inviting you to the shark tanks out there, buddy? Go,
yeah,
no, yeah.
Bro.
I imagine two sharks in the back. Ya llegó el tanquecito.
Hey, I'm from Harlingen, bro. We wrestle Catan, man.
Yeah, you go tanquecito paras. This is the one, buddy. This is the one right here. We'll set it up in the canal. Let's go.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, man. Hang up right there. Don't go anywhere. Say thank you to a couple of our sponsors here to our show, guys. Big shout out to Anotis Construction. These guys are top-notch craftsmanship, guys. If you're looking to make a home, business or anything like that, give this guy a call. These guys are great. They're always on point when it comes to making homes. Always work around your budget. They try not to bankrupt you by accident, but these guys are really great at what they do, man. Give Tony a call, 956-363-7195. Remember, Anona Construction, building your dream one brick at a time. Big shout out to them. Also, another sponsor of the podcast, Pandora's Box, Freddie Honda. Big shout out to Freddie Honda out there, man. This guy, one of the greatest guys interviewed. I've seen him grow up through the podcast. He's done great things. Now he has his own shop. He did do a custom tattoo for myself, for my son, and me. This is a design my wife made. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture that she made. And Freddie did a tremendous job on that, man. If you want to look for a good tattoo and great artist, man, this is the guy to call, man. Click on that QR code, takes you straight to them. Also, these guys have a promotional poster up in their area, which I try to go almost every day just to go check it out. Yeah. Big shout out to Valley Trophies LLC. These guys are great. If you're looking to get a trophy done, these are the guys you want to get a hold of. They're great at what they do. They're always on point on when they're making trophies. I know somebody in the podcast here reached out to see if they could get a actual Stanley Cup made. I don't know who the hell that was, but
like a really cool person. Who knows what they're talking about?
That was, yeah. But they do specialize on trophy plaques and all that good stuff, man. Give them a call, hit up on the QR code, and let them know Chewing News sent you. I think your camera went out. I'll have to check that up in a few minutes. Also, big shout out to Extreme Nutrition LLC, guys. They serve juices, protein shakes, froyos, smoothie bowls, and supplements. If you are planning to get your act together and get really, really want to lose some weight or get healthy again, give these guys a call. Head up to their area. They have a promotional poster out there. Click on the QR code and talk to them, and they will take you one step at a time. Also, big shout out to Texas Toke Smoke Shop here in Westaco, Texas. They have your party goods here. Shop. We are one stop for shop, CBD, and other smoking essentials. Give them a call. Find out what their store hours are at. They have a promotional poster on there. Click on the QR code. Great guys, man. They got some great stuff down there, and let them know Chewing News sent you. And last but not least, our old stomping ground, out of the way Chew says it, when Gallery Cactus, or the way Chew says it, say it.
Cactus Gallery.
Our old stomping grounds, where they have crafts, memorabilia, and vintage clothing. Head out there. They have live performances on Fridays and on Saturday nights. I'm thinking we got Anthony on the line, man. We should try to maybe get Anthony go out there and do a stand-up out there soon, man, so they can enjoy that too.
Why not, dude?
And it's local talent. That's what it's all about, you know.
They're all about the local talent.
Yeah, this is what's up. Give them a call. Hit on that QR code. Go up there and have a shopping spree if you have a chance to go out there and see them. Let them know Chewy News sent you. Let me go back here. That's Derry. I still got you on here. And we lost two, so I guess that's a message for the audience. Well, I'll try to fix this camera ASAP. Tell me a little bit about your family, Anthony. What's the support like on their end? I mean, now that you're doing the comedy thing, you're on sound. Mom, I know mom's always going to be proud. You know, dad's the one. Dad always wants the best, especially with the men. They want the best for you. Hey, I understand you like your dream, but you got to have a plan B. So, but tell us a little about that. I mean, what was that interaction like with your family, knowing that you're going to the comedy scene?
Man, I've had a lot of support, man. And, you know, especially from my parents, because, you know, growing up, my dad would always tell people, like, he's either going to be a criminal or a fucking lawyer. Like, that's always, he always knew that I could, you know, I could talk, I could handle a crowd. You know, my mom's always been a supportive mom. you know, they didn't really like give me a pushback, especially like my dad, because I've always worked my ass off. You know, I've always made sure my family's taken care of. I always make sure my kids got what they need. My wife got what they need. The bills are paid. You know, this is always, you know, it does take up a lot of time, especially, you know, I do miss a lot of events. I miss a lot of parties, you know, holidays and stuff. But my wife supports me because she knows how hard I've worked for it. You know, and, right. You know, I've always had the support system, especially for like my uncles. You know, I got, you know, my family, they all supported it. Once my family found out that I was doing comedy, none of them were surprised. Like, they were just more surprised that I was actually going up on stage and doing it. You know, I've had my dad come out to shows, and he's super proud, man. And he's told me just to watch you up there and do what you're doing. It, you know, you've come a long way, especially from where I've come from, you know, and, you know, the history that I've had, you know, to be doing stuff like this, to be doing, you know, positive. You know, I tell people all the time, like, I've had cops that know me when I was younger. See, I've gone to my comedy shows and, you know, mm-hmm. going to shake my hand, like, hey, Nino, how you been? And, you know, shaking my hand and being a civilian, sir.
Ashley threw you under the bus. Is he calling you a mama's boy, bro? I don't know, bro. I don't know. Ashley's coming out. And then Ashley says, he got a lot of practice roasting his sisters like Victoria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I got one more. Like, we are very proud of you, brother. I mean, you are the Kim Kardashian of the family. I'm not even gonna go with that joke. I'm not even gonna touch that joke. No.
There's that BBL jokes going again.
I'm sorry, dude. Yeah, I had to do it.
No, and honestly, like that, like my family, bro, is hilarious. My family, we cannot be in the same place together without, like, roasting the shit out of each other, bro. Like, people sit there and they're just looking at, like, laughing at everything we're saying. But at the same time, they're like, man, I can't believe y'all go that deep. Oh, yeah. We would tear each other apart. Like, my wife tells me, we should just record you and your sisters hanging out and, you know, put it on TikTok. Like, man, they're going to cancel this just for, you know, the shit that we're saying, man.
let me tell you something, and this is just me talking out loud, man. I mean, like you say, your family is a funny family. They sit down, those conversations. I know what you're talking about, because we've sat down. Me and my brother and I, we sit down at the family table with my wife and my little sister and my mom and dad. We'll sit there, and we start joking, and we start saying the most hilarious crap that you would not believe. And I always told my wife, I go, one day I'm just gonna put a phone and just let it record and throw it into a podcast and just. Yeah. They go, my mom goes, you better not, Calancho. Yeah. You don't know what kind of hurt is coming your way.
Yeah, well, the cheese man, that's why.
yes, the cheese man. Gotta keep them the DL, bro. We gotta keep them down low. We can't talk about that.
Yeah. I got that kind of family, bro.
No, I got that kind of family.
If you're not there at Sunday breakfast, they're talking about your ass. Like, yeah, that's the kind of family I got, bro. And it's hilarious because it's, you know, it's cheese man. It's everybody just talking about everybody, but. You know, when we're all together, it's just a whole big ball of just comedians, man. Like, everybody's funny, man. Like, my uncle's the kind of dude, like, my uncle Carlos is the kind of dude that was a breakdancer boxer back in the day. And, you know, this guy would dance any song that you put on. I used to take him to the, like, go hang out at the honor bars, and he would give lap dances to ladies for buckets of beer. Bro, this was
a whole bucket of beer. Damn.
He would turn into a little Susia, bro, and start grinding on everybody. And there was this one time, there was this girl, she was in a wheelchair, and it was her birthday. So, you know, like, the homeboys were there, it was her cousin, and they're like, hey, tell Carlos to give her a lap dance. Tell her to give her a lap dance. So I tell my tío goes out there, bro, and he starts giving the chick a lap dance. She's in a wheelchair in the middle of the dance floor. Brings her all the way out there. And it's funny because she can't really dance. She's paralyzed. So my tío starts telling her, whip that hair, girl, whip that hair.
Oh, yes.
Bro, we were drinking beer all night. I would yell out the dance moves. Give him the bull rider.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bro. And then, like, you know, like, that's the kind of people that we have, man. Like, you know, when back in the day, the UFC, they used to show them at the racetrack here in Arlington.
Yeah.
So me and all my tios would all go see the fights, and then we would all tell they would tell all their wives, no, we're gonna go to church afterwards. We'll see if I'm 69 to the Tejano Club to go dance with señores, And like, it was just, man, just literally a group of senores and me hanging out with them, you know, as a young kid, you know, just going out there at the Hano bars. And these guys were crazy, bro. And that, my tío was known for that. Like, he would walk up to chicks like, oh, you want to dance? Buy me a beer. Oh, next one.
Chinga. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Something tells me next time we have Anthony, he's got to bring you. Beer. You got to bring your uncle, bro. We want to meet this guy. We want to meet this guy.
A lot of the stories, man, that I have that I say on stage is because of him, man. Like, I grew up, there was, you know, it was, I tell people it was funny because he found out that I was a gang member when I was like about like 13. Uh-huh. And he said, like, no, I'm going to take him under my wing. Like, I thought this was like my Stand By Me moment. Like, and he's going to show me right from wrong. I'm going to be a lawyer or some shit. Like, nah.
Right.
Man. This guy took me with all of his homies. And he said, like, you want to have a gang member? I'm going to show real gang members. so, just hanging out there, bro, and watching all these senores and everything, like OGs just talking to each other. And I seen it just roasting and laughing and have the jokes and have the sayings and, you know, like little stuff. Like in Las Juarez, we had a midget. Like, he was a little guy in the hood, but he was a senor.
Yeah.
And that dude, like, we would, like, pick on him, like, oh, ¿qué onda, Rolis? You want to throw around? Rest in peace, Rolis. But, like, you know, we're like, pick on him, like, we wanted to fight him. And that little guy would look at you because he had a big old mustache. He would just look at you in your face and he'd tell you, siéntate, te sale más barato. Like,
pay attention to the little man. Pay attention. Pay attention.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell people, if that guy was at least 5'2", I would cross the street whenever he's coming around.
As you're saying, your tío, he should be the next Bronco 95. No. He's not the next Bronco 95. No. What he's supposed to be is El Tío 956. That's what he needs to be, El Tío 956. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We haven't had one of those yet. But
that's him.
Yeah, it fits the bill.
But it's just like him, his brothers, you know, my uncles on my dad's side. Everybody was just funny, man. So the support was always there, especially when it came to comedy. Because, you know, somebody had to do it. Somebody had to get up on stage.
Right.
You know, and I love it because, you know, I got my uncle, and, you know, he said what's up earlier. Like, if I stay around that area, like, hey, man, come stay in my house. You know, if you're going to do comedy out here, you know, stay in my house. You know, I got the support. Like, if I land in the city, I get the support from my comedy family, primos. Right. Like, I got primos in San Antonio and Corpus and everything. You know, any city I show up at, anything I need, I just reach out to the comedy family that I've done shows with all these years. You know, we all take care of each other. They, hey, I got a couch for you. Hey, man, I got a ride for you. Hey, you know, we got the green for you. You know, like, whatever. Whatever we need, man. And I love that's it. Awesome. I'm very blessed to have a good community around me, man, especially my wife. You know, she would drive overnight with me, like, you know, help me drive, stay awake, you know, to go do a show, come back and work in the morning. And, you know, my kids are very understanding. My daughter, you know, she's a bit of a, like, an artist herself. And, you know, like, it's hard to, you know, leave your kids in a lot of times because you're on the road doing stuff. But, you know, they'll be the first one to tell me, like, we understand. Like, go do it. You know, go do it. Like, all right, man. So, you know, I'm very blessed in this game.
So your wife is your pretty much your ride and die. Right there, all the way through.
Toxic as shit, but yeah. I tell people, as long as my production team isn't drinking Twisted Teas, we should have a good night.
Keep the Twisted
Tea coming.
She'll be the one that keeps me humble, bro. Like,
it was too mad.
We were hanging out at a shop after a show, and I had shown up, and the guy that was there, he's like, man, Anthony Nino's in my shop. And then he looks at my wife like, Anthony Nino's in my shop. And my wife just fucking rolls her eyes like, son.
Yes, Ashley, exactly. She's going to kick his ass as soon as he gets off the camera. In Houston, Texas, a man just got his ass whooped and lost a couple of more vertebrates on the way. Let's go to it live as it's happening right now. All right, I got Vial here saying, glad to see you. You better, glad to see you better, Anthony. There you go. I got there right there. That's awesome, bro. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, man, like, does your family ever like they give you notes about your act, man? Like, you fucked that joke up?
Not the fucked up jokes, but like hanging out with like primos and like homeboys and, you know, family. And it's like, I laugh, man, because there is a There's been a couple of times where we hang out with certain people, like a certain family, and they're all like, pues, se ponen prendido los vatos.
I know that guy.
I know that guy.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like I'm stealing your material, but I use it. Yeah, man. We're like, yeah, man. I get. You know, not really. You know, that's the cool part about it. Like, none of them are like, no, you should do this on stage, or hey, say this on stage. It's just. To them, I'm not a comedian. To them, I'm still just Anthony. Right. And they can go toe-to-toe with Anthony any day. When other people can't, like, you know, people outside of our circle, like, my wife and her friends have to warn people before they come around me, like, hey, he's a comedian. He's gonna make fun of you, or he's gonna make fun of something. Just don't take it personally.
Right, like, right.
Because he's not gonna care if you do anyway. Like,
yeah. Dude, now, every family has one, or either a family or a friend have one. Myself, I have one in my family. I'm pretty sure you have one in yours, where they say, "Wacha, come in. ¿Qué te crees, bro? You're not George Lopez." Do you have that one critic in your life?
Oh, yeah, my tío. Yeah, I got it right. Jerry, yeah. Jerry.
Jerry Seinfeld.
You know, they keep it real because I'm still not showing up with the cases of beer.
right.
Still can't bring a damn case. Still showing up with the empty koozie.
or hear that? It's the guy who brings the beer that nobody likes, but he drinks everybody else, and he takes that case back home.
What? Yeah, well.
Hey, bro, put on Milwaukee's best is the best, bro. You don't like it? Okay, I'll put it aside. Let's finish your beer first. No,
yeah,
man.
No, yeah, I do, but he's not. It's not really on some hater stuff. It's just I seen it as I. That's how.
Just poking like, fun at you, man.
Mira. Don't be. You're not on stage right now. Calma.
I may not be on stage to you, but I'm getting material. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, shit. I know recently we had talked earlier that you were doing a show here at the Chris. Big shout out to Rocky over here in the Chris.
Yeah.
Great fun, place, man. Out here. If you want to enjoy yourself some nice fine wine and some craft beer, it's a great place to go. It was like, I think 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were down here in Westaco, Texas. You did a stand-up comedy with your buddy Jacob, I believe, that was Jacob here. Man. And also, the Lizard Man was in town also. What was that like, being in that situation, that show? How was that show? How'd that show go for you?
Well, when I showed up, I was about a blunt worth in already.
Oh, shit.
That's some good stuff, yeah. And when I got there, the Jacob
told me,
it's a lizard man, and I had kind of looked it up, like, oh damn, you know, Guinness broke a world record, you know, tattoos and everything,
right?
You know, so when I showed up, like, I don't know why in my head I was expecting it to have like a creepy little voice. He's just a regular dude. Like, I walked up, like, hey, what's up, man? And he shook my hand, like, it's crazy because he's cool as hell, man. Shout out to the Lizard Man. You know, gave me a lot of advice. He's a touring comedian too, but he opens up for like rock bands and stuff. And, you know, really cool dude, really, really down to earth. And it's crazy because I don't know why I expected his skin to be scaly, but like when I shook his hand and he came in, like he gave me like, you know, bad dabble. I'm like, oh, he's just a regular person. Like, you know, like
he's not gonna eat me.
Yeah, man, and it was cool, man. This guy.
Yeah, he looked like a cito.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh yeah, man. But that's awesome, cool. Bro.
Yeah, he's based out of Austin. He's doing a lot of work in Austin right now.
All right.
Yeah, the dude just had a lot of experience, man. A lot of knowledge about touring on the road. You know, telling me about doing the shows with Brad, because I was letting him know I also do shows with bands, local bands. Like, I've worked with Popular Loner, you know, I've worked with, you know, a couple of local rappers, you know, like if they have album release parties, I'll host the show, but just so that I can work on different crowds. And then, you know, if I'm doing like a 3-hour set with the rapper, So I'm doing comedy in between each band, each group.
Right,
so I'm
right.
doing 5 minutes in between while they're setting up. I'm keeping the people entertained. So right. that kind of works a comedy muscle of having stuff on the spot. You know, right, talk about right. this, talk about that, talk about this, and they're hosting and stuff. So he had a lot of advice on that because that's what he does. He does a lot of that, and you know, it was really cool to hang out with the guy, man. And you know, he did his whole like freak show thing. You know, swallowing swords, popping condoms, like all kinds of crazy shit.
Right.
And
yeah, I saw the Coach Crew thing. That was pretty nuts, man. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool because you know we had done the comedy. They also had a belly dancer. You know, shout out Jacob James, man. He's a really good comedy family member of mine, man. I call it comedy primo, bro. Like if I consider you real good people, me your family, and then me in comedy. You know, I got comedy cousins, and you know he's definitely one of them. And Jacob is just a veteran in the game, man. 20-something years in the game, been all over the world doing comedy, and right. it's just being able to hang out with different types of comedians and different types of entertainers to just gain their knowledge, bro. Just you know, ask as much questions as I can. You know, I'm not just you know, trying to talk about myself. Like, I want to hear about you, like your experience and you know, stuff like that to kind of, you know, see where the doorways are to get into that lane to start, you know, branching out.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was cool though, man. He was telling me the history of his tricks. He was, you know, he did the whole like tongue thing, taking out his tongue and stuff. Like, you know, and then, of course, everybody's got to ask, like, is it tattooed? Like, yeah, it's tattooed. Like, all
right,
that's cool.
Right.
I would have made it look like the Gecko Geico. But, you know,
hey, oh my god!
That marijuana sounds real good.
I want to smoke what he's smoking. Huh? I want some of that shit, man. No, man. Well, that's good, man. I'm glad that everything's going great for you, man. I know you're on a right now. It's a pit stop right now as far as your back surgery and everything getting that done, but. I mean, getting up and doing it again, going across the state of Texas or here in the Valley or wherever you're going to travel, that's something that, you know, it's they're notches in your history list. You know, these are battle scars. They're everywhere you go, man. You get to talk about those things. That's what's so awesome. Is there a certain in particular goal you're going for? Is there the one show that you want? In through your comedy career that you really want to do? Is there one that you want to do?
My dream has always been to do the main stage at Hyena Comedy Club in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Okay.
Yeah, because during COVID, when everything was locked down, we went on vacation out there, and we were walking around downtown and everything, and I saw it, and man, I just fell in love with it, and the owner was, I guess, cleaning up around there, and everything was closed. We all had our mask on and stuff, and I just told him, like, hey, man, like, I was maybe about a year and a half, maybe 2 years into comedy, and still a pup, and I asked him, like, hey, man, I'm trying to do stand-up comedy. You know, this is my first comedy venue, like, I've seen, like, is there any way I could check it out? I was like, all right, man. So he let me go in there and look at the main stage, and, I mean, I just fell in love with it, man. Like, I just fell in love with it, and to me, that's always been the goal, you know, and to a lot of comedians be like, oh, it's not that big of a stage. To me, that's always been the goal to at least perform there, because I will at least know me. I worked hard from the day that I first saw it to get here and to perform here. And, you know, so right now it's just about making as much noise as I can, man, making as much noise, you know, performing to my best anytime I hit the stage. I tell people all the time, I don't care if there's six people in the crowd. This is my HBO special tonight.
Exactly.
I got six people. I'm going to rock those six people's world tonight.
Exactly.
I got a venue full of people because I've worked with Chingo Bling, with Raymond Orta. We've done giant crowd, man, big crowds. And I'll rock that crowd the same way I'll rock a little crowd. Because if you're coming out here and you're giving me your attention, I'm going to give you the best. I'm not just going to brush it off and say this is nothing. Like, no, I need you to walk away and say he was the best tonight. You know, and I tell people, like I say it all the time, like, you may not know who I am, but by the time you leave, you're never going to forget me. That's always my goal.
Lasting impression. There you go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is the last question before we sign off, man. And we bid you adieu and all the good stuff. When it's all said and done, Anthony, time goes by 50, 70, 60 years into the future.
Yeah.
It's all said and done. How would you like to be remembered?
He took a chance, man. I took a chance. You know, that's always the message I've at least shown my kids. Like, whether I fail or succeed in this game, I took a chance. and I tried my hardest. There was a lot of things I never did, you know, that I saw through to the end. This is something that I'm going to see through to the end, you know, and I just want people to know that, you know, I do come from the Valley. I do come from the 956, and I take this everywhere I go with me, because I wouldn't be as funny as I am if it wasn't for the RGV, if it wasn't for where I'm from. You know, that's why, you know, and I love this little part of our map, man. And, you know, the personalities, the humor, the sayings that we got down here are what made me as comfortable as I am on stage, because everybody was a performer down here, man. And everybody has that vibe in the Valley of, you know, that, you know, we have our own, like, you know, because you just laugh all the time when you're here. And I love comedy because it's giving, you know, me, like I said, I was a custodian listening to a podcast at night, you know, making minimum wage, to I'm performing in front of this many people. So, you know, hundreds of people know who I am, you know, hundreds of people follow me, hundreds, you know, people have experienced me in person and will never forget me. And, you know, right. That means a lot. That means a lot coming from a little town down here in the corner of the map, you know, and my, you know, it feels good to know that my name is known outside of the Valley. You know, I've shown up to these bigger cities and, man, I've heard about you, man. You know, I've heard about, I'm excited to work with you. And, you know, I'm just a dude from the RGV, you know, and to have people, you know, bigger names than myself look at me and tell me, they can see how hard I'm working. They can, you know, to have a comedian tell me, I would have never expected that from a 7-year comedian. I would have never expected that from a 3-year, 4-year comedian. Mm-hmm. You know, having that, you know, a lot of the bigger guys telling me that, you know, it takes a long time for people in this comedy game to get where I'm at. So I just got to keep pushing. I got to just keep pushing and evolving. And that's the only way to get ahead, man. And I hope that I hope I make a name for myself.
That's all
I'm trying to do. Yeah.
There you go. You have anything to say?
No, man. I mean, just thanks for being on the show, man. You got that thing going for you, man. And, you know, just keep pushing forward, man. We're all very proud of you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Keep killing it.
All I can say on my end, buddy, is that keep doing what you're doing. Just like Chu said, man, you're blessed to bring laughter to tough times and stuff that's going on at the moment that we're not even going to touch base on. We're not talking about it. but you know, all seriousness, man, you know, the laughter is very important. You know, without laughter, shoot, it would be a very boring place, a very sad place, you know. That'd be a terrible world. And to have someone like you, especially for hoy nomás. I think that's your tío. Ya llegaron los tanquecitos. We got to wrap it. I think your tío's outside waiting for us. No, but back to what I was saying, man. That was like quick. Like I said before, doing what you're doing, man, bringing laughter to the world, dude, that's very important. You know, it's good for every human being to have that. And what you're doing is not only entertaining us, but it's also health-wise stimulates our mind, you know, hey, man, I know you had a stressful day, but laugh, bro. Be happy. You're alive. You're breathing. You know, things are tough, but you got to laugh sometimes. You got to giggle to yourself once in a while and say, hey, you know.
Laugh through the pain.
Someone's got to have it worse. But, you want me to take it off? No, it's okay. It's okay. All right. And hopefully you're back soon to the RGV. We'd love to have you in the podcast live for another interview. Maybe next time you come down, you bring your uncle and you bring your best friend with the puppet. That would be one hell of a show. You'll go at it with the puppet.
bring the whole family.
That would be one hilarious.
Yeah, the whole family.
Man, other than that, I already put all your social media so that they can follow you, man. Go ahead.
Cool, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, man. Anthony Nino on Facebook, Anthony Nino 15 on Instagram, Anthony Nino 19 on TikTok. You know, I'm starting to work on the videos and stuff. I also will be performing October 3rd in Far at the Lone Star Theater again. I'll be hosting the show. So we'll be having Marlo Salazar, man. We're going to try to pack it out. You know, that'll be my first show back from my recovery. I'm just right now, man, just writing, you know, rewriting some stuff, you know, just constantly, even though I'm sitting down, I'm still working on new jokes and stuff, and you know, it's gonna be good, man. I'm definitely gonna bring back with that energy, and you can follow me on any of those, and you know, like I said, I'll be working on some more videos and stuff, so that's definitely a big must right now.
If you want more information on Anthony Neal, go ahead and click on that QR code. It takes you straight to his Facebook page, so we can see all the upcoming shows that are coming on here to the RGV or anywhere in the state of Texas. Go right there, click on that, and it'll take you with all the information that you need, man. I know I got more people coming down here. It's just back. Your sister here saying back and better than ever. Orale.
Tell him to go cook something. Tell him.
Anthony, all I can say is thank you so much, man, for coming on the podcast, having a little fun with us, man. Continue doing what you're doing, bring laughter to the world, man, and just be you, man. Just be you. Man, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, man.
Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate this. Shout out to both of y'all for giving me this time. And yeah, we got to run it back, man. Run it back. I'll bring on some people. We'll make it some more laughs.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. We'll love to have you back on, man. We'll set something up soon, and we'll bring you up here, man. We can have a good time up here. All right, man. Thank you so much, and stay cool, man. All right, we're gonna sign off in a minute. Thanks, Anthony. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our podcast for this week with Anthony Neal, episode 261. Great podcast.
Great podcast, dude.
Like, so I got a new arsenal now. Ya llegaron los tanques. Ya llegó la guerra. Quita los tanquecitos.
I can't wait until he sues you for. Using his material.
I copyrighted that shit. Oh, his tío did. I'm not sure Anthony had anything to do with it.
Tío show up with a pistola, man.
Hey, bro, as long as I have a six pack, I'm good. I'm good. Tío, here. Hey, you know what? You can use it as long as you want it to, bro.
We're cool, homie.
But, anyways, a big shout out to Anthony, man. I appreciate you being on the podcast. Chew. Great podcast again today. I know next week we have a young lady come into the podcast. She is a Taekwondo kid champion. Ooh. That'll be here next week in our podcast. She's going to be here with her dad. That'll be something very interesting. We got a lot of questions for her, you know, what made her go into that. So kick my dad's ass is what I'm
now, tune in next week, everyone. Maybe I'll walk away with something broken.
Yes! Tune in next week! But no, man, but great show. Coming to the end of September already, coming, walking into October. Now that you're here, we did talk about having next year, we are leaning towards the wrestling scene.
Yes.
Now we'll be going that. And it doesn't mean that we'll stop doing local talent.
No, absolutely not.
It's promotions that we'll be having each month, and the last week of the month we'll have somebody with a Valley talent to come in and close up the month. So don't worry, we're not shutting down completely as far as the local talent. Don't worry about that. We're just focusing on the wrestling thing right now.
Wrestling that's happening locally.
Yeah, it's getting very, very big, very, very fast.
It's very big. It's very popular. Yeah. We've got a lot of positive feedback. Yes. So we're just gonna go ahead and lean into it a little bit more.
So, but other than that, guys, thank you so much. Shoo, sign us out.
I've been Chu.
And I am Ooh. We will see you next week, 7:30 p.m. Thursday night. Thank you so much for everybody watching. Tune in, follow, subscribe, share. We will see you next week, man. All I can say is, Laters Gators, peace out.
Good night, Nebraska.